I'm just looking here at the dates in front of me. The schedule, Saturday the 11th of November, the Saturday that's just gone by, AQE, first paper. Saturday 18th of November, GL assessments. Saturday 25th of November, AQE, second paper. Saturday 2nd of December, AQE, third paper. Saturday 9th of December, GL supplementary. Kids don't have to do them all, but chances are they'll do at least three of those. Some of them will do at least three. Let me speak to Tina Calder, who's a spokesperson, a commentator indeed, and someone who's in favour of academic selection. Tina, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Tina, it sounds mean, if you don't mind me saying. We used to send the children down the mines. That's a tough old run up to Christmas for any 11-year-old.
It is. And funny, Frank, one of the things that I said to your researcher yesterday was that I do believe that the system needs radically changed. It needs radically overhauled. But in principle, I do believe that there has to be some form of academic selection for young people. But I think it needs to be a more holistic approach. There needs to be a better way of making this selection, because when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, there is a case for wanting children who have certain aptitudes to be able to excel without being held back, and for children who are, and young people who are of a certain academic stage, to not feel that they're stupid or unintelligent or that they're holding other people back. So it's important that every child is being given a type of education that suits them, that fits their needs, whether it's vocational, academic, whether it's creative. And the only way to do this is to have some form of academic selection. I don't believe our current system is perfect. I don't think it works in its entirety. But being a former grammar school pupil myself, I do see the benefits in having had academic selection. And believe my mother didn't want me to do the 11 plus at all. She was very against it. And she was very proud when I did eventually go to a grammar school.
So
I didn't
Tina,
excel
so
academically though, that's okay. The thing.
Yes, but just to get into the grammar school, this is why so yeah. many parents are putting their children through this series of exams, and it's not just the at least three dates for the AQE or the all day event for the GL or the supplementary GLs available as well, but there'll be some children who will do all three AQEs. They'll do the GL as well because mommy or daddy wants them to get into the grammar school, and the grammar school won't take them unless they go through all of this. And it's not just, you know, the best part of four Saturday mornings. It's the preparation for it. It's the tutoring. It's the nights by the fire with some visiting tutor or heading off to some tutor's apartment to learn and learn, to cram and cram.
Well,
these are little children.
Yeah, I don't think that works. And I think that's really important to say to people. All a tutor does is teach a child to pass an exam. A tutor doesn't make a child more intelligent. It doesn't make a child have a better aptitude at something. What a tutor does is teach a child to pass a test. That doesn't help the child when they move on to grammar school education or not. That's why I think the system needs radically changed, because we are putting kids under an awful lot of stress. And I have to stress that I believe it should be the child's choice. It has to be the child's choice. It was my choice. I was one of the lucky ones where I didn't have the stress. I didn't have a tutor. I didn't have the pressures. I sauntered in to my 11 plus.
Yeah, but Tina, do you honestly think it's the child's choice in 2017?
It's
mommy and daddy wanting the grammar school education, and the grammar school saying, you ain't getting in here unless you put your children through this.
But that's where we need to be campaigning for a better form of selection, not to have it eradicated. That's what I'm trying to get across, that it's the process that is wrong, not the fact that we should academically select.
Okay, do stay with me, Tina. I want to speak to David Thompson, who's the Ulster Teachers Union president. He's also a school principal. David, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
You're a primary school head. Now, rules changed recently, didn't they? The last education minister encouraged the schools to teach towards these exams. Previously, you were advised by Sinn Féin ministers not to teach towards them.
That's correct. and indeed, even when we're advised not to prepare, I mean, there's the pressure posed by parents, and ultimately, as schools and as school principals, we felt that we had to try and cater for the needs to ensure that those pupils were adequately prepared to sit those tests. Now, I suppose, you know, as a teacher union, we do not support the selection process of children, pupils at 11 years old. And as you've alluded to, the fact that some children will sit up to three AQE tests or the two GL tests, or indeed all five tests, as far as we're concerned, that's unfair and wholly unacceptable. And Tina alluded to the fact as well that, you know, many of our schools now are having to rely on the expertise of counselling services as a result of the increase of emotional issues experienced by many of our young people. And surely this, you know, this added on an unnecessary pressure of sitting these tests is having a detrimental impact upon the young people.
Does it surprise you at all that we asked the last two education ministers to come on the programme and neither of them would accept the invitation? A DUP representative, a Sinn Féin representative.
It's disappointing, and again, just shows that lack of leadership at the top.
And in the meantime, we have the children facing into this raft of exams because there is no alternative and there is no agreement. However, let's look at it the other way. They're 11, they're vibrant, they're mad keen to go to grammar school. They can take it in their stride.
I don't know, because again, as I've said, we look at the schools and the pressure that those children are being exposed to. You even look at the pressure that's applied to parents. You know, they do believe it's necessary to, you know, get that additional private tuition. You know, and in some cases that starts as early as primary in the children in their primary 5 year. That comes at a cost of, you know, so anything between £20-30 a year. And there are many families who can't afford that additional cost.
It comes at the cost of £20 or £30. How often?
Per hour. Sorry, yes. I said per year. Sorry, my fault. Per hour.
I was wondering, was it per week? I thought £20 or £30 a week would be expensive. Per hour.
Per hour, and in some cases, their tutors will have up to five children in any one session. I mean, so it's a lucrative business in itself. But again, there are, you know, that's a huge cost for parents. And again, there are many families just can't afford that. And again, those children maybe within families of lower income can't avail of a grammar school place because they can't afford this extra tuition, which they believe is necessary to seek a place.
I think you and Tina Calder are both in agreement that something needs to be done politically.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact now that, you know, it was 2008, we were introduced to the two tests. Again, you think of the teachers in my school, where we have children who may go down, either school, will have to sit the five tests. I mean, those two tests are very different in their nature in terms of the application, and the strategies that the children have to apply are very different. And again, that's a huge increase upon our teachers as well.
Do the grammar schools have to be more open to change and not as focused on the fact that they are insisting on some form of process that's going to highlight the sheep from the goats? Because they don't only take the creme de la creme. They sometimes take kids who haven't actually excelled at all.
You know, and some schools across Northern Ireland, some of our grammar schools, they are accepting all children who have applied for a place in their school, regardless of the score. And that suggests to me that it's much more of a numbers game. You know, if schools were to suggest that they wouldn't accept anybody with a score under 100, I think it would be a very different ball game out there.
So in the meantime, in your school, there will be children who will be in talking about the exam this morning, and they'll be looking forward to the next one that's coming up, whether it's next week or the week after it. And there'll be a buzz among the kids, or is there an air of gloom?
I think the buzz or the air of gloom comes at the end of January, beginning of February, when the results are out, and the children who didn't achieve the expected result, it's at that point that some of them will label themselves as a failure and will feel that, well, maybe I'm not going to get into my local grammar school after all the amount of work and preparation that I as a child did and me working with my tutor or indeed my class teacher. And it's at that point that we experience the highs and the lows.
In the meantime, you're teaching them towards these exams because, number one, the last minister permitted it, and number two, and most importantly of all, the parents insist on it.
Correct.
You must be under a lot of pressure.
Teachers are under a lot of pressure because we can't forget about those other children actually who aren't sitting any tests at all. We don't want them to feel ignored or isolated, or indeed, you know, that's feeling that their needs aren't being met either.
Okay, David Thompson, school principal and Ulster Teachers Union president. Thank you very much, David. Tina, you're in agreement that something has to be done. And the reality is, come the end of the run here, children are going to feel like failures.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we have to be educating the parents. Because I went from being what I believed to be the smartest in the class. I was the only child that passed the 11 plus in my year. And the others, it wasn't that they were not intelligent enough, it was because they were nervous. So I went from that mindset of feeling quite smart to going to a grammar school and being completely in the middle. I was average, if anything. And my entire grammar school career was very, very average. I wasn't a high achiever. But one of the things that I did get from grammar school education was, because I came from a working class background, I luckily then was able to adapt, and I find other areas in the education system that really benefited me now as a business owner. Whereas one of my sisters, for example, who didn't go to a grammar school, because three of us did, she didn't quite get the same skills that I got from the secondary school. In saying that, she excelled amazingly in academically, and she did better than I did academically when you look back over the results. So for me, it has to be a holistic approach, and especially at the moment where the kids are studying, I think parents have to switch back on and say, is my child ready for this? And if my child's not ready for this, I need to accept that they cannot go to grammar school, or that they have to take another opportunity further down the line. And I think parents really need to stop putting this pressure onto children. It has to be the kid's choice. It has to be their vision for the future. And if their vision is a little bit slower than the parents, well, the parents are going to have to suck it up. And I think that one of the things that we need to do with the education system is really shake it up. We have to start looking at mindfulness, we have to start looking at healthy choices, we really have to start looking at the kids' well-being, but that also includes their educational well-being. And if they want to excel, if they can excel, we have to give them that opportunity, and some form of selection is going to be needed. But with Stormont behaving like children and children behaving like adults, I mean, we need to turn this around, and we need to have Stormont thinking about what they can do for the education system to alleviate the pressure on parents, to alleviate specifically the pressure on the schools, and to alleviate the pressure on the young people, so that the opportunities that they're presented with in life are better suited to their needs and their capabilities.
And do you accept that in the meantime, you say you're from working class background, the children from the working class backgrounds where mum and dad can't, or maybe just mum or dad or whoever the guardian is, can't afford the tuition, can't afford the £30 an hour with the tutor, that they're going into this, not a level playing field. Those working class children don't have the same chance of getting into a grammar school, even though you're in favour of academic selection?
It's absolutely imperative that we take the tutors out of the mix.
But who's going to do that? You know, no parent's going to do that if it gives their child an advantage.
It's a money-making racket.
Yeah, but it still gives your child an advantage.
But all they are doing is teaching a child to pass an exam. They are not teaching the child...
Yeah, but to get into a grammar school, the carrot here is these excellent grammar schools we have. This is why...
But the grammar school won't cater for a child that doesn't have a specific set of needs. I probably would have excelled better. My mum knew that I would have excelled better at a secondary school and not a grammar school. But I insisted on doing it, and I luckily passed it because I didn't really care. I was mostly doing it as a form of rebellion to pee my mum off. But back then, it was a couple of tests, and it wasn't something that you really had to study for. There were kids that had tutors. But now the whole tutoring thing has gone beyond a joke. It's beyond a joke. And the kids shouldn't be forced to go through that extra pressure. It should be whatever's on the curriculum. They find out whether they have the vocational, whether they have the academic, or whether they have creative needs. And they have to be... that those are what have to be assessed, and that is what has to select them into whatever education system that fits the child's natural academic or vocational or creative ability.
Okay. Tina, thank you very much indeed. David Thompson, thank you as well. Now, I did say that the last two education ministers, we asked both of them, neither of them available to come on this morning, but I suppose to some extent they're irrelevant now that we're practically on the doorstep of direct rule. I think most of us are in agreement that it can't be pleasant for 11-year-olds to be tied up on Saturday the 11th doing an exam, Saturday the 18th doing an exam, Saturday the 25th doing an exam, Saturday the 2nd doing an exam as well. And one of those days is two exams. So not all of them is going to have to do all of the exams. But some of them will, without doubt, have three Saturdays involved in pursuing this carrot of getting into a grammar school. So they're 11 years old. They're little kids. They're 11 years old. But their future is so important. And we have excellent grammar schools in Northern Ireland. Absolutely excellent grammar schools. So is it right that we should have to compete the way we do to be selected to get into those excellent grammar schools? Who's to blame for the children? This sounds a bit like a quiz, a comedy quiz on the BBC, but it's a serious question. Who's to blame for the children going through all of these exams? Is it the government? Is it the grammar school setup? Is it the parents of Northern Ireland? Chris Little is from the Alliance Party. Chris, there's no getting away from the fact that no matter how a child dresses this up, November must be a horrible month for them.
Absolutely. It's an extreme challenge, Frank. I'd like to start by acknowledging the dedicated effort of teachers, parents and pupils to navigate this process. It's an emotive topic, but the Office of First and Deputy First Minister, held by the DUP and Sinn Féin, actually conducted or commissioned a three-year study by experts in Queen's University and Strathmillis, which concluded that this approach to academic selection does inhibit educational attainment. It does damage confidence and self-esteem. It does favour parents who can't afford private tuition, and it results in a system that, whilst high on excellence, is low on equity. That can't be right. It can't be right that we take children as young as 10 years old in many cases, and on the basis of two sets of high-stakes one-off tests, determine whether they're academic or not, and determine the schools that they can attend, despite the fact that year 8 to 10 is the same common curriculum. It is in need of serious reform. Indeed, at a recent event, I heard the Education Authority chief executive acknowledge that the average selective school has a wider range of subjects and extracurricular activities than the average non-selective school, despite the best efforts of our teachers, parents and pupils. That can't be right. I'm disappointed to say that the Education Committee, before the Assembly collapse, had commenced an inquiry into educational attainment and post-primary transfer, and I was positive that that was going to include all parties, all schools, all parents, all people in our society with an informed view on this issue to come to the table to try and find a better way to do that post-primary transfer and to do our education system to ensure that every pupil has the best chance and the most equal opportunity available to them to achieve their full potential.
So if you're going to wave a magic wand, just briefly, how would you run the system?
Well, in a lot of countries, the age of 14 is seen as a more appropriate age to make informed choices between teachers, parents, pupils and good quality careers guidance to ensure that career pathways are thought about from that early age. Tina mentioned earlier good vocational pathways with clear linkages to further education and apprenticeship opportunities should be available as well. So we think that is the approach that we should be working towards, and indeed...
But Northern Ireland parents want the grammar school option.
Northern Ireland parents, in my experience, and I'm one of them, want the best education possible for their children. They want the best range of subjects, the best resources, and that should be available to all our children.
And do you think at this present moment in time, obviously, I think there's general agreement that a lot of kids will never get to grammar school because of their socioeconomic background, but do you think there's a better chance of them having a level playing field if selection was at 14?
Well, ideally, as I'm saying, I think our schools, our teachers, our parents and our pupils at that age will have enough informed information available that they can choose the pathways that best suit their interests, their abilities, their passions. I don't think that the correct approach is one to sustain in any way at all.
Chris Little, thank you. I'm going to speak to Rosemary Barton, who is from the Ulster Unionists. Rosemary Barton, good morning.
Good morning.
Education spokesperson in the Ulster Unionist Party, and also a teacher, or previously a teacher?
Previously a teacher, yes.
Mm-hmm. So when you look at the weekend that's just gone by and the weekends that are coming up, do you feel a sense of sympathy for the children, or do you believe it's the only option?
No, I feel a great sense of sympathy for the children. I think this actually highlights that we need to reform this 11 plus system that we already, our academic selection system that is on, that's in Northern Ireland at the moment. I think we need to look at having a common departmental run test to ensure fairness for all children, because this choice of two different tests, one by AQE and one by GL, I think it's not sustainable and it doesn't work, because certain schools actually just need to use one test, and we need to have a common test for all children.
And why can we not have that common test? Because we've been running it now for a number of years. Primarily the GL is for the Catholic schools and the AQE is for, in inverted commas, the Protestant schools. I know I'm simplifying this. The GL also will count towards some of the so-called Protestant schools, but it seems to be quite a mix at the moment.
It's quite a mix at the moment. And another problem with the two tests is that they are not comparable. They cannot be compared. The marks in one test cannot be compared with the marks in another test. So they're not can't be switched between schools.
Yeah, one's on grades and one's on points.
One's on points, yeah. But I think the problem lies when we go back to when the so-called 11 plus was officially discontinued in Northern Ireland, and there should have been a lot more time given then to look at a different selection process, have one selection process for all the children.
But why can they not agree? Can you not put that in a sentence, why they can't agree to have one test?
Well, I don't see the problem in having one test. I think they should.
But there must be some reason why GL exists and AQE exists.
Well, I think these are tests that have been developed by two different consortia groups, and that's the reason that they are trying to compete with one another.
Yeah, and again, the kids are caught in this competition, aren't they?
Yes, it's unfortunate the children that suffer. Our parents want the best education they can possibly give to our children. But one thing I would like to say, and that is 11 the right age for selection to a grammar school? I think children slightly older at the age of 14 would be better prepared. They would be more understanding of their ability, and their parents also would have a better understanding of their ability and perhaps be more aware of the various pathways that a child can choose.
Okay, Rosemary Barton, thank you. Chris, just one final question. Why do you believe we still have the two systems?
Well, obviously this is a legacy of an unregulated system, not set down by the government. It's my understanding that work is being done to try and rationalise those systems, but that's a flawed, inadequate response to a system that multiple studies and reports have found not to be a fair and effective approach to educating children. It's one of the many reasons we need to get back into the executive and back into the assembly to ensure that our education system is fit for purpose in the 21st century.
Okay, Chris Little, Rosemary Barton, Chris Little from the Alliance Party, Rosemary Barton from the Ulster Unionists. Thank you indeed for coming on the programme. The last two education ministers were unavailable to join us this morning from Sinn Féin and the DUP. Right, 23 minutes to 10. Pauline's a parent. Morning, Pauline.
Good morning.
Pauline, you know, if you're a parent, you know what the children are going through. Are they able to take it in their stride, or are we as adults maybe too worried, too concerned about children doing four or five exams over the space of a month?
I think we'll have to keep it in perspective. I mean, my daughter's only 10 and she did her first one on Saturday. And I think we are capable of doing it. And I think that we do sometimes maybe pamper them a wee bit too much. And they can handle it. The thing that bothers me is they're doing these three tests over the space of a couple of weeks. They're really the preparation of what starts in primary six. It's a very long process. It's a very tiring process. They've got practice papers all over the summer. They've got practice papers over half-term holidays. And they're kind of sick of it by the time they get to this point. And I think for a parent, I don't understand why the assessment has to be done as an exam. Why is the assessment not done as an assessment over 2 years in class? Why do they not look at the children's work over those 2 years? They do other tests in school. I can't remember what they're called now. They used to be called PIPs and PINs or something like that, which they actually complete on computer. And that those scores are kept by the Education Board as a kind of a backup. So why can't they be doing smaller tests throughout the year in their own classroom environment? That will give the teachers a fair assessment of how they're working and how they're doing, rather than putting them through the pressure of that exam that, you know, they can be getting extra tuition for, and it is a matter of, you know, how well you perform on the day. What if you're sick on the day? What if you're stressed out? What if you can't cope with an exam environment? You know, and the fact that the kids have to go to the grammar school, which is really intimidating, and sit in a big hall with lots of children they don't know, you know, that in itself is an added pressure as well. I think we need to look at it holistically and say, like the GCSEs where they do coursework, you know, look at the kids over those 2 years and say, well, we know that you would do well in a grammar school, and your work over that period has shown that, you know, you will succeed. Maybe that's the way to go, and yes, have selection, but scrap the old-fashioned exams.
Would the decision be made by a representative of the grammar school looking at the primary school work, or would the primary school teacher have to make part of the decision?
I think it would have to come from the grammar schools, because obviously, you know, primary schools will want to be seen as a good school pushing their kids into grammar education. But I think, you know, I don't think we can get rid of our grammar school education here. Our education here is really envied by people in the rest of the UK. We have great schools. And I think, you know, it's unfair. I think we've become snobbish in that we say, oh, you know, my kid's going to go to a grammar school, they're going to do well. They have to be the right child for that school. There's no point in your kid doing well in the AQE, you know, scraping through with a good grade, getting into a grammar school, and not being happy and not succeeding. Whereas, you know, if they look at how the child has done over those 2 years and see their peaks and troughs and things like that, the grammar schools will be able to say, you know, that child might not be suited to our school. And I think that's probably the way to go. But to do that, we need a government that's going to work for our children. At the moment, we've just been, you know, floundering left. You know,
Wouldn't it be great to have a government?
It would be wonderful.
Wouldn't it be great? Pauline, thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. We've praised the grammar schools for sure this morning, because parents are indeed bending over backwards to try and get their children into them. But there are some excellent schools in Northern Ireland that aren't grammar schools. There's a mum wants to make a point about that in just a moment. Good morning to you. There's an interesting text. It says, good morning, Frank. I went to a well-known South Belfast grammar school in South Belfast. It says, a while back, they had a mock election for the pupils, and the second biggest political party that was voted in was actually Sinn Féin. Their rich parents had sent them to a predominantly Protestant grammar school. So in reality, the pupils were like turkeys voting for Christmas, and Sinn Féin want to abolish grammar schools. I wouldn't be surprised that the parents vote for Sinn Féin as well. The results of the mock election were put up on the school's Facebook page, much to the aghast of former pupils. That's exactly how it's written there. Good morning to you. 90 333 105, 077 66 105 105. Loads of you just saying it's a lot of pressure. That comment's coming through quite a bit. But other people are saying that the children are resilient and they're well focused and capable. And there's a thought too for the tutors who seem to be making £20 to £30 an hour. That's good money if you can get it. Let me speak to Michelle, who I think has a point to make about the non-grammar schools. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Frank. Yes, I do actually feel very strongly about this. I was listening to your programme this morning, and I heard quite a few times you said about our excellent grammar schools in Northern Ireland. I myself went to a secondary school in Belfast. We now live in the country, and my daughter's just about to finish her A-levels at, a wonderful school, actually, she sat her AQE. She was one of the first children to sit the AQE at the age of 10, and we had such a job in our hands to build her confidence back up again. And I have to say, the school that she went to was instrumental in that. They built her back up to totally believe that she could do anything. And she sat all the higher tier papers and GCSE, the same as the grammar schools, came out, did very, very well. She just did quite well in her AS level, and she's in her last year of A-levels now. I went to...
And has she continued to A-level standard at the school that she went to at 11?
She was at, yes.
Yeah. Do you want to name the school?
It's Ballyclare Secondary, and it is a wonderful school. Absolutely wonderful school. The headmistress rules it with... Honestly, they're not... She checks every pupil on their way in, their school uniform. It's the most amazing atmosphere school to be in. And prize night, the seats you nearly sit on top of the parents' heads because everybody's there to see their children do so well. It is an absolutely wonderful school. And I get very emotional, actually, when I'm there because of the job that they're trying to do with children. I remember the first day when my daughter went into first year, the principal said to me, she says, I have a job on my hands now to build these children back up because she doesn't believe in selection at that age, and I totally don't believe in it. I myself went to a secondary school in North Belfast. I went to the girls' model, and I left with 10 O-levels, was highly commended for my O-levels, was very fortunate, was able to stay and do my A-levels as well, left with 3 A-levels and did a business degree. My husband went to the boys' model. He's now a professional. He is a podiatrist. So we don't sort of really buy into this. But yes, grammar schools, of course they're good, and I believe, yes, certainly, I think selection at 14 or 15, I myself went through a selection process in the girls' model at 14, 15, was moved up into the grammar stream.
But one of the things you regret from all that you're saying there is putting your 11-year-old through the AQE,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely. She pressurised me into it because it's a socially acceptable thing. And I think what I will say that I have noticed with regret, and I didn't notice it as much in Belfast, but when we moved out to the country, there's a snob factor involved, Frank. There's a snob factor. Does your child go to secondary? It's almost as if you're not quite good enough, which I totally resent. And there is a snob factor, and whether parents like to admit that about themselves or not, it's there.
Do you seriously think that exists, that they're glancing at which uniform Joe or Josephine's wearing?
Totally. Totally it exists. Especially in the country. Now, not so much in Belfast. I didn't witness it as much. I didn't feel any different for going to the secondary compared to friends who went to the grammar. But I think in the country, certainly where we live now, there is a snob factor involved. It's almost as if, oh dear, you know, poor you. And I've seen parents go to huge lengths into their, seems they integrated as a better option in the secondary and travelling miles out of their way to avoid the perfectly good secondary on their doorstep.
And there are some excellent secondary schools, as you've said, high schools, you know, they're absolutely outstanding, including the one that you've just highlighted, Michelle.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
No
you.
No problem.
Thank you. Thank you. Very positive commentary on, I suppose, the rescuing of a child's confidence and bringing her through to being successful now at A-level standard. That is so, so important. You know, the youngster does the AQE. I'm going to use the word fails, and then certainly feels like a failure, goes in shattered to the secondary school, and this excellent school develops her as an intelligent, articulate young woman. And this goes back to the argument made by a couple of the politicians there a moment ago, that 14 is probably a better age if you're going to select kids because they're that bit more mature. Michael's got a point. Good morning, Michael. He's on line 4. Morning, Michael.
Hello. It's about something that the lady said earlier on. You were going on about the tutors, and you were saying about tutors, and she said they should be abolished because all they're doing is preparing children to pass an exam. So that's all it ever was. That's all it ever was, wasn't it, when you think about it? You're being you're being coached to pass this exam to get into a particular school.
Yeah, but the point. Yeah, but the point she's making, and it's a very valid point, if you have a child who is being coached to pass an exam and the child excels in the exam and goes into the grammar school, the tutor isn't there after that. So the child could flounder if she's in along with people who manage to get there without all of that tutoring. So it could expose you at that point.
Yes, but what the point I'm making is that's all it's ever been regarding exams. I mean, even, you know, set aside the tutor for a second. That's all it's ever been. I remember speaking to a young girl who was doing A-level history. I was doing it at the same time, roughly. I was doing a bit of part-time at the time. And she said, well, there's essays come up. They know that there's certain essays come up every exam, and they're trying to guess which one it is. She said the school she went to, can't remember what it was now, and she said they had every angle covered, every single possibility that the essay could come up. They had it covered so that when they went into the exam, they had already done the exam more or less at school. And I think that's true in most places. You know, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying that's the way it is. Because once you get over that line and you get into that school, then you take it from there.
Yeah, but this is the crucial thing. If you get over the line at A-level and get into university, you're a mature adult and you can roll with the punches. But if you get over the line at 11 and you get into a classroom full of very bright children and you're actually not as bright as your mom and dad thinks you are, you're going to be left in a vulnerable position. The use of the tutor can sometimes give a distorted outcome, can very often give a distorted outcome with regards to ability. However, having said that, it is so important to so many families to get their child into the grammar school that they'll spend every penny they have to get the kid tutored.
Oh, I agree with you. And I'll tell you what, I would always have been... I was always been in favour of continuous assessment. I mean, I went through the 11 plus. I found it traumatic long, long time ago. And but having said that, here's where the hypocrisy comes in. When it's your own child, your grandchild, you want them to do the best, you know.
And do you feel, and on that, Michael, do you feel, and Michelle touched on this, do you feel there's an air in Northern Ireland that your child's doing better if he or she's wearing a classy grammar school uniform?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that is certainly true. My granddaughter goes to a very good grammar school and she just went in there. And when I see her in that uniform, I'm so proud.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. It's a valid point. It is, even though we have excellent non-grammar schools in this country. I Ballyclare was referred to there by a parent, Michelle. The girls' school in Ballyclare was referred to. Ballyclare High School, isn't that the one that she referred to? I'm not 100% sure whether it's mixed sex or not, but it certainly got a glowing report there from the parent, Michelle, who was speaking to us. I can think of outstanding high schools as well, especially the ones that I would be more aware of, which would be in the vicinity of where I'm from in County Down, in the Newry Warren Point area. And I mean... outstanding. Let me speak to whoever's on line three. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning.
I'd like to make the point. I did very well in primary school, passed 11 plus, and went to a notable grammar school in Belfast. One thing I found different was I learnt that there were haves and have-nots. Sat along in class with people who would be very well known today through the businesses they run. And I found that it's just set me in a different path altogether. From leaving school, I've always strived to do better, to do something, you know, to try and bring myself up a bit, because I didn't know about the difference before I went to grammar school. I come from a working class family.
But you sound like someone who went to grammar school maybe back in the day when I was at school. I would say there have been significant changes now. There would have been a time when, you know, to get into the grammar school was a tough old ask. And if you failed the 11 plus, your parents really had to scrape a few pounds to get you through the review and all of that that used to go with getting into a grammar school. But today, do you think the children face that as well, whereby they would see the haves and the have-nots?
Not so much. My son and daughter both went to grammar schools. Not the same one as I did, mind you, but I look back and mine has been quite a draconian setting, you know. And just learning about this, you know, in primary school, I had no problems with confidence, loads of it. Moving into grammar school, I couldn't believe the difference and how far down the food chain I felt, you know.
I know that they've all been on a journey. The education system has been on a journey. And I think the vast majority of children who are in second level school today are actually happy. I think kids are far, far happier than we ever would have been as youngsters of the 70s or 80s.
Agree. Schools seem much brighter places now. I just wanted to make the point, Frank, that that's something that stayed with me all my life.
Yeah, you don't have a fond memory of being at a grammar school.
No.
Yeah, that is coming across. Right, it is 9:55. Good morning. Some of the texts and emails that are coming here towards us just ahead of the news at 10 o'clock. Good morning to you. Just to clear up, Michelle, who was the mum who was on earlier, who was full of praise for one particular school. The school she was praising is a mixed boys and girls school, and it's Ballyclare Secondary. Ballyclare Secondary was the school that was getting a massive pat on the back earlier in the show. Frank, I agree with that lady that said there's an element of snobbery regards getting into the grammar school, and she says that they can follow the same curriculum, and I think there's a suggestion from quite a few people, including Tracy, that if you work hard, you'll do fine in the end. There's praise for St Columbanus in Bangor. It's a wonderful school. My daughters were encouraged there. This is another point that parents do really appreciate and respect. If they go to a school where they feel their children have been encouraged, they start at this point and they move to that point, and they see a development in confidence, they see a development in academic achievement, and they see a development in personality. You can be full of praise for a school that nurtures that. I'd like to think that most schools would manage to achieve that, but it's never a guarantee.